Welcome to the World Conference. Aren't you glad to be here?
Yes.
I'm so excited to worship the Lord together. We have 16 different churches representing in this room from different people groups. Now, why is this conference? Why do we even do this? It is to equip and to network Asian American leaders for Christ. Now, my question is, why Asian Americans? Why? Why us? I think there are three important elements to why you are important. First, you are the future of the U.S. demographic. Second, you are the bridge between majority and minority. Third, you are the new missions force for the unreached people group. You are the future of the U.S. You know what? By 2060, non-Anglo population will grow up to 57%. Amen? Asian American population is growing like crazy. Asian Americans here in the United States, there are 17 million Asian Americans, which consist of 5.6% of U.S. population. What about North Carolina? How are y'all thinking about this? North Carolina is ranked as the third fastest growing state among all 50 states about Asian American population growth. So we gotta be very proud of this. And there are 300,000 Asian Americans in North Carolina. There are a lot. Now second, you are the bridge. You can move back and forth between American and ethnic cultures easily. That is a wonderful privilege. And you can serve as a bridge between cultures. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Peter is a first generation leader. He is reaching out to who? Jewish people. But do you know another example for second generation, third generation in the Bible? The Apostle Paul. Paul is a great example for second generation leader. Walter Cowell said, Paul was a diaspora Jew who was born and raised in the multicultural metropolis of Tarsus, a rich Asian minor city well known for its philosophical schools and large Jewish community. His mother tongue was Greek. Is that relevant to you? Helen was a diaspora Cambodian who was born and raised in the multicultural metropolis of Charlotte, a rich financial hub well known for UNC Charlotte and large Asian community. Her first language was English, same as you. Do you see that, the great relationship between Apostle Paul and us? Language ability, cross-cultural experiences and sensitivities of migrant diaspora Jews from Hellenized Mediterranean cities of the Roman Empire that provided the backbone for a successful communication of the gospel to various people. You know what? The gospel was spread out in Asia Minor through who? The second generation who grew up in the Hellenistic Jew, just like you who grew up in Asian Americans. We have a great example. We have a living example as well. Navid Quresh. He is a Pakistani-American who was born here in the United States, but he was perfectly fluent in Urdu, perfectly fluent in English. He published a Bollywood movie perfectly in Urdu, as well as he was speaking for Rabbi Zacharias International Ministries as an apologetic person. Isn't that amazing? Second generation, you can go back and forth for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. Third, you are the new missions force. People from non-Western world will be the principal agents of Christian mission right across the world. We are here as minority, only 5% of U.S. population. But you know what? This is the 1040 window where 70% of the world's population lives. We are representing at least 60% of the whole population in the world. We are, come on people, we are the majority. Asians are majority in the world. So we are representing a huge people group. But God is doing something great here among Asian Americans. Let me show you. The percentage of Christians among Asian American subgroups is much higher than in their ancestral lands. In Japan, the Japanese Americans, about 30% of them are Christians. But do you know how many Japanese in Japan are Christians? Less than 1%. Right, Takami-sensei? Yeah. Amazing. God is saving. God is leading a lot of Asian people to Christ right here. Conversion rate, religious switching conversion, is more common among second-generation Asian Americans than among first-generation Asian Americans. Among second generations, 40% have religion different from one in which they were raised. God is working in you. Maybe you know some of your friends, second generations, who used to be Buddhist, who used to be Muslim, but they are coming to Christ, even while their parents are still holding to their old religions. But this second generation are open, they are seeking, they are hungry to know what is inside of you. And God is doing amazing work to lead them to Himself. Asian American leaders. Francis Chan, Chinese American. No need to explain about it. Jenny Yang, Korean American. She is a World Relief Advocacy, Refugee Advocacy Support Person. Afshin Zeta, who used to be a Muslim, but he is an Iranian-American who came to Christ, who used to be a former North American Mission Board missionary. Now he is a lead pastor of a multicultural church. These are all second generations God is using as leaders. Amazing. However, we have some issues. Broken leadership pipeline. We need leaders among Asians. But because of these two things, this connection among first and second generations with different cultural expectations, we fight about these things. And we have disunity among churches on non-biblical reasons. And because of this, the leaders, Asian Americans, who could be the bridge between majority and minority, but they are not being raised as leaders. So what we need is this. We need to raise up leaders who are all in to follow Christ. Amen. We need Asian American leaders who are all in to follow Christ. This is why this year's theme is all in. There are two aspects, internal, external. Internal is to give all I am to follow Christ. That's an all in. Personally, we need to give all in to Christ. But that's not all. We need to be united among churches to follow Christ. So that is the two big angles of all in for this conference. We want to grow personally, but we also want to grow together to be all in. So what does it look like to give all I am personally, internally, to follow Christ? It's the Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. This is how we give all I am to Jesus. But what do they mean? First, deny yourself. Leviticus 16, 29, 31. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the seventh month, you must deny yourselves and not to do any work, whether native-born or foreigner residing among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. Deny yourselves. What does that mean? It is not like, oh, I'm not Korean. I'm not Cambodian. I'm not smart. I'm not handsome. You know, that is not deny yourself. That is what is called a depression. Low self-esteem. What is denying yourself according to this scripture? Well, fasting, repentance. That's what they did as a self-denial. Fasting is from keeping from sensual pleasures and desires for sin, which distracts from seeking God. Fasting is not just skipping your cornbread or cake, but it is, the focus is to seek God. That is the that is the fasting, and that is self-denial. What is the repentance? Through intensive soul searching, it is to recognize one's sin before God and return to the gracious God. So this is all focused on God. Seeking, desiring, repenting, returning to God. That is the denying yourself. And also, it mentioned about verse 31, it is a day of Sabbath rest and you must deny yourselves. It is interesting to put them together, Sabbath rest and self-denial. When you hear the word Sabbath, what comes up to you first? Movie? Nap? That's what we normally think, right? But that is not Sabbath. My friend went to a Messianic Jewish synagogue in Washington, D.C. and he decided not to go there anymore. Do you know why? On Sunday, they are worshiping for 8 hours. Can you do that? 8 hours. They were singing songs, and listening to the Word of God and all of that. Most people would not put up with a 1 hour sermon or 2 hour sermon, and they would just go to the church and pack up and leave in 1 hour. That's normally what we do. But you know what? That's how they, Jewish people, were celebrating Sabbath. 8 hours. What they were doing was just focusing on God and worshiping Him and seeking the Lord. That's how they rested. The rest is not doing, it's not stop doing anything. Rest is not sleeping. Actually, rest is seeking the Lord more than ever. That is the self-denial. Okay. Now what about the take up the cross? Many people think that take up the cross is taking the burden. I have only one sister. She is still in Korea. She has a developmental disability. Her IQ is like a 3 years old. So my father, my mother, when they were young, they were thinking like, oh, God has given us this cross. Our daughter is the burden. But as they praying and God has blessed them, God has blessed our family through my sister. So we don't call her as a burden. We don't call her as a cross anymore. We call her as a blessing. You know, the cross is not your neighbor. The cross is not your parents. Cross is not yourself. Then what is the cross? What does that mean to take up the cross? The cross means torturous death. You know the excruciating pain? That describes you how horrible that pain is. Excruciating is from the Latin word excruciatus. Cruciatus is the word for cross, crucifixion. X out of. So they were explaining excruciatus, which means from. It's like the pain, like the cross. It means the horrible, the most powerful pain that you can ever have. That is what the cross is. So taking off the cross means you actually risk your life, whole life. You're getting ready to die for Christ. It is not taking or calling somebody as a burden. It's actually taking risk your whole life. Lastly, what is to follow Jesus? It is to follow Jesus alone, not the others. Not money, not fame, not other things, but follow Christ alone. There's a very interesting statistics here. This is the income, median household income by age and generation. There are three bars. The far left one, that is your first generation income. The far right one, that is the average American income. Do you know what the bar between? That is you, second generations. Congratulations, you're making more money than your parents. You're making more money than than normal average Americans. I mean, that is awesome, isn't it? But you have to be very careful. Maybe you think like, wow, we came to America, my parents came to America a long time ago. Now I am fulfilling their dreams. I'm making more money than my parents. I got my Mercedes, I got my BMW, and I got my really good six-figure work. So my parents must be very proud of me, and I'm proud of myself. And I want my children to be more prosperous. You may think that way. You have to be very careful because the Bible clearly says, 1 Timothy 6, 9, 11, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and to a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. This is God's word. Second generations, your job is not to make more money than your parents. Your job is to pursue godliness, Him. Amen. That is what it means to follow Jesus alone. So that is what the eternal all in, give all in to follow Christ, which is deny yourself, take up the cross daily, follow me, follow Jesus through desiring God alone, taking risks, and loving God alone. That is what to give all in, to be all in for Christ. I really want our second generation, our leaders, to be really soaking into love and desire for God. You know, praying like crazy every day, 3-4 hours each day, memorizing 5,000-6,000 Bible verses. That's what my father told me, to really do ministry. Just being soaked in God's word and prayer to give all in to Christ. Now, the next part. What does it look like to be united with all to follow Christ? Because to give all I am to Jesus, that's good. But that's not all. We need to give all. We need to be all in together in this room and beyond. We need to be all in. First generation, second generation, third generation, Hmong church, Vietnamese church, all in together to follow Jesus. What does that really mean? 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. This is God's word. No divisions among you. But we know the reality. We know the reality. We see the divisions in Asian American churches so much in the name of church planting sometimes. We say, oh, there are language barrier between first generation pastor and myself. We have different cultural expectations. We have traditions. Well, the first generation pastors are pushing the traditions on us, and that really separates us, and so that we really don't respect them. We have all the different kinds of reasons. Churches that exist. But you know what? They're all coming from one thing. Pride. Pride really divides the church. Because the same passage, 1 Corinthians 1:26-31 says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. These people in Corinth, they were saying, I'm following Apollos, I'm following Paul. Even someone said, I'm following Christ. But Paul was criticizing what was inside of him. You know what? You have pride. You think you are someone else. Maybe you can see ourselves. When you first came to America, when your parents first came to America, they came as refugees, they came as a laundry owner, they came as maybe even seminary students like myself. But 10 years passed, 20 years passed, now you became American citizen, now you settled down, and now you may think that, oh, look at me, I achieved something. But you need to know, because of Jesus, you are in Christ, because of him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption. So that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Not in you, not in your accomplishment, not in your family tradition, not in anything that you did, but in Christ alone. So if we really give ourselves to God, if we are internally really give ourselves to God and focus on him and boast about him, then we'll be humble, right? And we'll be united. There'll be no divisions. Henry Blackaby, he says, koinonia is possible only if a church is made up of individuals who are willing to submit to the lordship of Christ and the body of Christ. Same with the denomination. We need to submit to the lordship of Christ and the churches and follow him. Not on the influential leaders or deacon boards, but to the Lord. So if you really submit to the Lord internally, then you will really submit to one another and be united. So all in through all in. If you are all in personally, you'll be all in together with churches. There's a church in Canada who is sending 200 Koreans every summer with joining with other churches to Kazakhstan. And their goal was, I'm not sure if they are still, but their goal was to plant 200 churches in Kazakhstan. Amazing, amazing ministry. I went there. But here's the thing. What really inspired me was this. Those 200 people who went there, there were a great combination between first and second generations. They were going together as a team with different churches. You know what happened in Kazakhstan? They were there. Even if they were speaking French or English, nobody in Kazakhstan would understand. And all the other Kazakh people would speak Russian or Kazakh, and first generation, second generations, right there, they're united with no idea what they were speaking. So they were depending on the translator, interpreter all the time. They were so humbled together. First generation, second generations, they were just like clueless. And that really brought them together, the humbleness. And amazingly, God used them together. And when they come back, when they came back to Canada, the relationship between first and second generation got so much better. The church grew together. First and second generation built a church together. I really want to see our churches. Instead of talking about divisions, we're going to talk about true discipleship, going missions together, being humble together, submitting to the Lord together, being all in together. So be unified with all to follow Christ. It is through boasting about Christ together with humble heart. So we are to be all in to follow Christ through desiring God no matter what risks we might have, and through boasting about Christ together with humble heart. Amen. I really encourage you to really focus on these two things throughout this conference. All in, what does that mean? It's to desire God alone, and it is to boast Christ together in the name of Christ. Don't boast about how big your church is. Don't boast about how good program you have. Boast about Christ. That unifies you. That unifies all of us together to love Him, adore Him together. So my prayer, and I hope your prayer would be to equip and to network Asian American leaders to be all in to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Father, you called us to give all ourselves together to you. And you called us to be united, being humble. But Father, we acknowledge that it is so hard because our nature is so selfish. And we still hold on to our pride, and we divide ourselves so much. In the name of culture, tradition, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Please forgive me. Please forgive our churches. Father, please make this time to be your work, the Holy Spirit. Father, please break our hearts and let our hearts to be really, really humble. Instead of looking at all the other things, we want to look at you alone, Lord. Father, please bless this time to really come to your cross, to kneel down together, and to seek you, desire you, and to praise and boast your name alone. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.